Canto 1,
Chapter 9. The passing away of Bhishma Deva in the presence of Krishna. Sutta said, Yudhishthira, in fear because he had killed, in order to understand all duties, thereafter went to the battlefield where the dying Bhishma Deva was lying down. Drawn by the best horses, decorated with golden ornaments, all the brothers followed him hither, accompanied by Vyasa, Daumya, and other rishis. Also the Supreme Lord came along with Arjuna on the chariot of sages among the scholars. Thus, the king appeared very aristocratic, like Kuvera, together with his companions. Seeing Bhishma lying on the ground like a demigod fallen from heaven, he, together with his Pandava brothers and the one carrying the disc, Krishna, bowed down before him. All the sages among the Brahmins, the god-conscious souls and the royalty were there, just to see the leader of the descendants of King Bharata. Parvatamuni, Narada, Daumya, Vyasadeva, Brihadashva, Bharadvaja, and Parashurama were present there with their disciples, and also Vashistha, Indrapramada, Trita, Gritsamada, Asita, Kakshivan, Gautama, Atri, Kaushika, and Sudarshana had come. O Brahmins, also many other sages like Shukadeva, the instrument of God, and other pure souls like Kashyapa and Angirasa arrived there accompanied by their disciples. Bhishma Deva, the best among the Vasus, knowing well how to adapt the Dharma according to time and circumstances, welcomed all the great and powerful souls who had assembled there. Knowing his glories, he honored Krishna, the Lord of the universe situated in the heart, who manifests his form through his internal potency. Overtaken by feelings of love about the gathering, he, with tears in his eyes in ecstasy, congratulated the sons of Pandu sitting silently at his side. He said, Oh, how painful and unjust it has been for you good souls, sons of righteousness, to have had such a life of suffering you never really deserved under the protection of the Brahmins, the religion, and the infallible one. After the death of the great general Pandu, when you, the children of Kunti, his wife, were still tender of age, she had to suffer a great deal on your account, and that continued even after you boys had grown up. All the unpleasant that transpired, I think, is the inescapable effect of time. You, just like the rest of the world with its ruling demigods, fall under that control the way clouds are carried by the wind. Why else would there be such misfortune with Yudhishthira, the son of the ruler of religion, being present, as also Bhima with his mighty club, Arjuna carrying his Gandiva, and our well-wisher Krishna? No one may fathom his plan, O king. It bewilders even the great philosophers who are engaged in exhaustive inquiries. Therefore, I assure you, Yudhishthira, O best soul of Bharata, that this was only due to his providence, his desire. O ruler, just take care of the helpless subjects, O master. He, Krishna, who inconceivably moves among the Vrishni family, is no one else but the Supreme Lord, the original, primordial, supreme enjoyer Narayana, who bewilders the world with his energies. O king, Lord Shiva, Narada, the divine sage, and the great Lord Kapila have direct knowledge of his most confidential glories, but do not know his intentions. He is the very same person you consider your maternal cousin, dearest friend, ardent well-wisher, counselor, messenger, benefactor, and charioteer. He who is present in everyone's heart, who is equal to all, and who, being from the Absolute, never falsely identifies himself, makes, in his consciousness, never at any time a difference, free as he is from any bias. Yet, despite his impartiality with the devotees, see, O king, how Krishna, at the end of my life, cared to be visibly present at my side. Those yoga adepts who with him in mind devoutly meditate on his holy name and with their mouth sing his glories will, upon abandoning the material conception of life, their body, be freed from their desire for materially motivated actions. May he, the path of my meditations, the four-handed God of the gods, the Supreme Lord, with his cheerful smile, his eyes red like the morning sun, and his decorated lotus face, await me when I leave this material body. Sutta said, Yudhishthira, who heard this from him who was lying on a bed of arrows, asked him, with the rishi's listening, about the different religious duties. Bhishma described to him the various stages of life and the vocations as determined by a person's character, as also the way one should systematically deal with both the symptoms of attachment and detachment. He gave an outline of the duties of charity, rulership and liberation, including a more detailed description, and also discussed the duties of women and those of devotional service. Knowing the truth, he, O sages, described the civil virtues of regulating the religion, economy, desires and liberation, thereby giving examples of known histories. The time Bhishma described the duties, the sun ran over the northern hemisphere, which is precisely the period preferred by mystics for leaving this world. Bhishma Deva, the protector of thousands of sciences and arts, then fell silent. With a mind freed from all bondage, he thereupon fixed his eyes wide open on Krishna, the four-handed original person, who was standing before him clad in yellow. Simply looking at him, the annihilator of the inauspicious, his meditation purified, and his pain from the arrows disappeared instantly. And as he was praying before the material tabernacle, all the activities of his senses ceased when he departed for the controller of all living beings. Sri Bhishma Deva said, freed from desires, my mind is now ready for the Supreme Lord, the leader of the devotees, the great self-contented one, who, in the realization of his transcendental joy, at times, as an avatara, takes pleasure in accepting this material world that changes constantly. He is the most desirable person of the higher, lower and middle worlds. Bluish like a tamala tree, he wears his dress that shines like the golden rays of the sun. He has a body decorated with sandalwood pulp, and a face like a lotus. May my love, free from material motives, repose in the friend of Arjuna. Let the mind be directed towards Sri Krishna, who, with his scattered hair that on the battlefield turned ashen from the dust of the hoofs, with his face decorated with perspiration and his skin pierced by my sharp arrows, took pleasure in wearing his protective armor. After hearing the command of his friend, he drove the chariot between the opposing forces, where positioned, he diminished the lifespan of the enemy by simply looking at them. Let there be my love for that friend of Arjuna. Seeing the faces of the troops standing at a distance, he with his transcendental knowledge eradicated the ignorance of him who, because of a polluted intelligence, was reluctant to kill his kinsman. Let there be the transcendence of my attraction to his feet. Giving up his own promise not to fight and fulfilling my vow to make him do so, he got down from his chariot, took up its wheel, and, while dropping his outer garment, paced towards me like a lion about to kill an elephant. Wounded by the sharp arrows of the aggressor that I was, and with his armor broken, he, smeared with blood, in an angry mood, moved towards me in order to kill me. May the Supreme Lord, who awards salvation, become my destination. Let me, in my dying hour, be of love for the personality of Godhead, who, controlling the horses with a whip in his right hand and the reins in his left, so elegant to behold, by all means protected the chariot of Arjuna. It was by looking at him that those who died at this place realized their original form of service. Watching the attractive movements of his supremely spirited, fascinating acts and sweet loving smiles, the gopis of Vrajadhama, imitating him madly in ecstasy, experienced his nature. When King Yudhishthira performed the royal sacrifice where the great sages and kings were assembled, he received the respectful worship of all the members of the elite. I present there recognized him at the time, and still remember him now as the Supreme Soul, as the object of worship. Having experienced the absorption of being freed from the misconceptions of duality, I know ever since that he, now present before me, is the one unborn in the heart of the conditioned soul. It is he who, situated as a supersoul in the heart of all beings created by him, is looked upon differently from every angle, just like the one sun. Sutta said, with his mind, speech, sight and actions, thus being fixed on Krishna alone, he fell silent and stopped breathing after having merged in the living being of the Supersoul. Understanding that Bhishma Deva had merged into the Absolute and Unlimited Supreme, everyone fell silent like birds at the end of the day. Thereafter, from everywhere, drums sounded, being beaten by gods and men, accompanied by heartfelt praise from the pious royal order and showers of flowers falling from the sky. O descendant of Bhrigu, Shaunaka, after having performed the funeral rites for the dead body, Yudhishthira was afflicted for a moment. The sages, who were satisfied and happy about the revelation of the confidential secret of Krishna's glories, then turned back to their hermitages with him installed in their hearts. Yudhishthira went together with Krishna to Hastinapura and consoled his uncle Dhritarashtra and ascetic aunt Gandhari. With the approval of his uncle and consent of Vasudeva, he thereafter ruled the kingdom, confirmed the Dharma and greatness of his father Pandu and forefathers.